but.
Okay, start it.
Okay.
What was it like growing up in West Germany?
Oh my goodness. I gotta think about that one.
I remember it snowed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived just off of an army base, and when I was a lot younger, it would snow so deep that it would appear to be, you know, close to your waist.
Mm-hmm.
And going to school, I remember we used to run from building to building, and then we go down in the basement, go across, come up, walk outside, go down again, and, you know, go through each building until we got to school to avoid having to walk that far in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember riding the cities in Karlsruhe. They have they still have the old cable cars,
mm-hmm,
system, like the trolley. So I remember, you know, on the weekends we used to ride the trolley downtown and go shopping. And I remember it rained a lot, snowed a lot, but I'm trying to think of what else.
Was there any, like, obvious tension with, like, the World War, with not the World War, Cold War?
Yeah, I was younger then. Not sure I understood everything, but, yeah, there was still tension going on. They still had the Berlin Wall up,
mm-hmm,
you know, at that time. And I remember, actually, my brother-in-law at the time, actually took me somewhere near there, and I can actually remember actually seeing it. It was nothing pretty. It was real thick concrete walls, barbed wire, graffiti on the West Germany side facing east.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were protesting and stuff, so they would graffiti, you know, the wall, and it had all kinds of pictures and stuff on it. And of course they had guard towers, you know, and everything like that. It was kind of scary.
Yeah, I bet. Go to the next one.
Yeah.
Where were you when you found out about 9/11?
Oh gosh. Where was I? I have to think about that. I was actually stationed in Kandahar.
Mm-hmm.
Doing one of my first tours when that happened. So I was already in the military when that happened. I remember we were in a break room. Looking across, we had this kind of a big screen TV, and we all got back from doing exercises, and we're all tired. We just kind of gazed over, and we just saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, I was already active duty in the military.
Okay, let's go to the next question.
Sure.
What was it like being deployed in Afghanistan?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. It was kind of scary,
mm-hmm,
at first. You know, my job in the military at that time was pararescue, and the amount of training and stuff you go through years of training before you're assigned a team, and before you're actually deployed, and you actually have to, you know, do something that they consider like real life stuff. But even though all that, I had all that training, I'll be honest, I was scared,
mm-hmm,
going over there. You know, it took a while. I think I was more scared and freaked out. I had to go twice, and I think the second tour was a little more scarier at that time. I think I mentioned this before. During the second tour, I lost two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
We had a team of six, and two of them had passed away from their injuries. And then on my second tour, is when a bomb went off and the shrapnel hit me in the face, and that's when I got injured. And you know, but before that, it was, I don't know, I guess it was kind of scary at first, but then. After a while, you know, it kind of wears off, and you're just doing your job and waiting to go home, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I hope that helps. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I can add to that. But.
Okay, go to the next question. Growing up, who was someone that influenced you to be the person you are today?
Oh my God. My grandfather, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was the person I looked up to. Didn't really have the traditional role models and things like that. My grandfather was the one that taught me how to, I think by watching them and their marriage and how they interacted, kind of taught me how to not only treat people, I think, but also how to treat ladies. You know, how to treat someone that you love, how to treat someone in a relationship, things like that. Also taught me just good common sense kind of stuff. And I think one of the, I'll tell you one thing that I remember. One thing my grandfather told me when I was little that I always remember is he said, your person's true character is often going to be revealed under times of heightened stress. That's when people are going to see who your true character is. So always be on your guard and always be aware of you know, yourself and try and stay in control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
which decade was your favorite? Why?
Are you going to hit me if I say this? The 1980s. I know you're going to laugh at that one, but
yeah.
The 80s were my favorite. Probably, I don't know, I like the music. I'm sorry, I was still, well, I wasn't quite a teenager. I guess I was more of a teenager more in the late 70s, early 80s, but the 80s I think it's because of the music. You know, we had, that was the time, the Cold War was going on, but you had, from a political standpoint, things were like kind of quiet, and you had, you know, Reagan was in office for 8 years, and things were quiet, and the music was probably the music, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Follow up. What decade is your least favorite? Why? Why not? Why?
I would probably honestly have to say the 90s because of the fact that, you know, what we talked about a little while ago, you know, the war, the unsteadiness, both from, I mean, without getting into too much detail, you know, both from a political thing and then also from a war thing and economy kind of thing. It just seems like a lot of issues happened in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then now in the 2000s, it's sort of kind of, you know. But,
okay.
I think what else? Anything else? Yeah.
How has the world changed for the better or better since you've been, since you were a kid?
Oh, my God. I might have to think about that one for a second. Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, there's still some of the same things that I think we're facing since I was a kid, and now that I'm an adult, I think there's a lot of things that are still like the same. But one of the things that got better, because from the civil rights type stuff, I wasn't involved like that in the 60s. I wasn't around, you know, like
mm-hmm.
then. But of course, in the early mm-hmm. 70s, and you know, even in the 70s and on into the 80s, you know, there were still some, you know. It was kind of bad, and so, and then of course the 90s it's getting a little bit better. I mean, there's still, you know, hate crimes, and there's still stuff going on, but I think that
there's more acceptance.
But I think there's more acceptance as the years progress and as the decades go by, even though it still exists.
It's still a long way to go.
Yeah, I think it's getting better each and every decade. I would say that's one of the things. And then, of course, I got to tell you, technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, I think I mentioned this before, but I was born at the time of the man walking on the moon, you know, and so it's kind of like from the technology from that point to now, I heard this somewhere, somebody told me this or heard it somewhere, is that, you know, the technology, there's more technology in your cell phone than there was in the computers that put the man on the moon, you know, kind of thing.
Wow.
So technology has changed drastically, I think. So I think that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
obviously.
Dial up.
Oh, the internet. Oh my gosh, the internet wasn't. Oh, I remember that.
Remember that.
I never had the internet growing up.
Yeah.
So I never had a computer growing up. So.
And it would take like 2 hours to download like one song.
Yeah, that was.
Actually, it would take longer than that.
That was the when the first internet.
And you couldn't talk on your phone line and be on the internet at the
same time. You had to hang up and do one or the other. Yeah, I remember that.
Awesome.
The cell phones were, oh my gosh, growing up, I was already an adult, the big cell phones that looked like shoes came out.
They're as big as a remote.
Yeah, it looked like a military walkie-talkie, that's what the cell phones used to look like, I'm serious. Yeah, so.
Pay phones.
I think pay phones that went out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, what else? Yeah, I think that's it. There's those couple things.
Okay, follow up to that one.
Sure.
How has the world changed for the worse?
Well, obviously the
violence.
I think obviously the violence and the
crazy.
Yeah, I think violence and there's a morality shift. I'm sorry, I don't mean to go there, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a morality shift, you know, in this decade, and like, you know. Pearl Harbor, for example, you know, that was in Hawaii, that was an island, but in this decade, you know, we had the terrorist attack on the first time in our continental history, in the 48 states anyway, that we had an attack on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, Pearl Harbor was American soil, but I'm talking about the continental, you know, United States, the 48 continental part, and it's the first time in our country's history. The next to the British, of course, that we had.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the terrorists and that is probably the.
I want to weigh in on this too.
The switch.
Like, I think that the family life has changed a lot because when I was a little girl, my mom and dad were both at home, and Grandma cooked every single meal. Like we never ate out. We never. I mean, and if we did, it was on Saturday, and it was a privilege. It was one time. We never had Cokes. We ate what was there, and if we didn't eat that, then we didn't eat. And now we have so much access to food. And
food, yeah.
Between that and the technology, there's a lot of obesity issues. And I think that the modern life, I mean, even I try to have a sit at the table and stuff like that, but there's a lot of families who are still wrapped up in their careers.
Yeah.
And now both parents have to work that we can't experience like what I experienced and probably what you experienced too when you were
traditional
roles where you have the kids and the parents and dad goes to work, mom cooks and takes care of the family, like that's not, and I think, I mean, I believe in women's rights and all that, but I think that there's value to the way it used to be. The family values, and that's getting lost.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I want to say about that.
Okay.
I was lucky to have my mom with me every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
James was lucky to have her too. I mean, he never had to go to a babysitter. That was a babysitter.
Yeah.
That's true.
So the next question, since you've been alive, which president is your favorite?
Reagan.
Why?
By far. Just because of the way, you know, you're going to laugh. You probably know this from your own history books or history class, whatever. But Reagan has a nickname of being the good communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And, hence the Cold War. You know, when the nuclear weapons and things were going on and all that, I think he had a good way of communicating and de-escalating a lot of issues. And I think he had a good relationship. I'm not talking I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat or anything like that. I just think that he was a person that was a good communicator and communicated well with anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think he communicated across party lines. I think he also communicated well overseas and was a good foreign policy maker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the last question to follow that up, which president has been your least favorite?
Oh, man.
Trump. In my lifetime, it has to be Donald Trump. I mean,
yeah.
It really does. I'm not just saying that. I mean, most, and probably I'll tell you why, and it won't be political either. I think the reason why I think he's the worst is because there's been other presidents that I didn't like for one reason or another, but most of the presidents we've had were decent communicators. They, you know, they communicated their agenda one way or the other, but they were good communicators.
They had etiquette,
and they were somewhat tolerant. And one of my greatest fears is that the way this individual communicates and serving, you know, an active duty military and serving in other countries, I'm afraid of what the other countries are going to think about the practices and things like that. So I would say he's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything like it before? Have you seen anything like it before?
Before him, no. Oh my gosh, you know, I've never seen any president like him before. If that's what you mean.
Yeah.
As a follow up, there's been other presidents I dislike, but he by far is the most outrageous.
I saw a cartoon that I forwarded Gary yesterday. It was Donald Trump, and it was a Native American, and they were out in the desert on a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump was like, "Make America great again." And the Native American pushed him off the cliff, and he said, "I just did." Did you see that?
No, I didn't come across. Oh, my gosh, I didn't come across that way.
Anyways.
I never saw that.
Yeah, he's definitely something. He's an embarrassment to our country.
Yeah. I mean, there's been others that I didn't like for one reason or another, but there's been other presidents that have, like, you know, said certain things or done certain things from a political standpoint, but he's the only one that I'm really truthfully scared about
mm-hmm.
him doing something stupid or you know, shouting out, basically starting something with foreign policy. That's what I'm scared of, because we already have the other countries that dislike that. Anyway, you've got to be starting around. I'll
mm-hmm.
talk forever on
that. Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I don't mind talking.